Here we are. I messed up the song, so I'm just gonna sing anyway, cause this is the Chat Pack Podcast, where we talk about this, that, and the other thing. Welcome to everyone. This is the Chat Pack Podcast, where we gather around, talk about this, that, and the other thing. I'm one of your hosts of this fantastic podcast full of fun, and you'll notice that we got the quad box going tonight because we got a special guest joining us tonight from Savage Gaming. We got the man, I can't remember your last name, so I'm just calling you Charlie.
Charlie Savage.
Savage Gaming.
I should have assumed, but at the same time, my little thing's Baltor 33. We're Chat Pack. That doesn't have anything
Paul
close
Baltor
to
33. Me. That's your last name. Duh.
No, I would. That'd be kind of cool, though.
If your last name included a number. Doesn't Kanye West have a kid? It's got like
Elon Musk. Elon Musk has the
equals MC squared.
The fighting jet thing.
That's so ridiculous, dude.
Someone asked him about his kid and he was like, what are you talking about?
I saw
anyway
that.
We here are gathered around to talk about a little bit about what our friend here does and just kind of where else the conversation is going to go, but let's introduce our panel of I thought I was going to have something that started with a P, but...
Paul, you're off today.
Podcast philanthropers. Fantastic is spelled with a PH there. The man that makes the show happen, the man behind the virtual glass, Trevor Heim, joins us. Hello, Trevor. Glad to hear that you're not sounding like a robot like you did in the pre-show.
Yeah, not sounding like a robot. Still fighting off a little bit of like a sinus cold, though, with the weather, way the weather's been out here in Salt Lake. But... I'm also trying to figure out, I don't know how I'm going to clean up everything Paul's been doing here in the first few minutes of the episode in post, but we'll figure it out.
What's wrong with what have I done wrong? Give me three examples of what I've done wrong to start this show.
You started talking, you kept talking, and you didn't stop talking.
The man that is being very rude to me is Caleb Cole. He's also joining us. Caleb, how are you when you're... Big deal, Caleb's big story of the day from middle of nowhere, Michigan. I bought light beer today. That was the breaking news for
cheap
Caleb
light beer.
Today.
When I first came in, I almost stopped myself. I was like, I want to save this on the podcast, but then I realized nobody gives a fuck about light beer prices. But I'm still going to say that out here in Marcellus Township, 8 16-ounce cans, $6.50. I mean, I guess there's a reason that people get addicted to alcohol because it's basically free. I mean, they're like basically paying me to take these beers out here. It's absurd.
Gotta hydrate somehow.
I don't think exactly how things
those work.
I don't think you're getting things.
Well, I did go into the Family Dollar and I took them without paying and I made them give me the cash in the register.
So you're confessing to that live on the internet right now.
No, I think that we just have a kind of a different understanding of what robbing means, Paul. It's just kind of.
See, Caleb lives
in
a
Seattle
small,
a
tight-knit
time.
Community.
He leaves a little IOU, you know, and he needs a little more time to pay.
It's a personal loan.
$6.95 for the eight beers. That
whoa,
he's,
$6.50. I'm not a fucking rich man. You kidding me? Jeez.
And rounding out the podcast today, Charlie Savage joins us. Savage Gaming, currently counting down the top 100 video games of all time. Dead Rising's not currently on the list, so I'm just assuming you're waiting for the top five.
I haven't played Dead Rising.
Oh,
that's one of many things.
Oh,
okay.
That is a game.
I'm just going to tell you right now, unfortunately, your list is now null and void, and you have to start the entire project over after you beat Dead Rising at least two or three times, so you get the full experience, so you actually do everything. So
that's fair.
Yeah, well, he can just kind of put Dead Rising in at zero. How about that? Is that okay?
I'll put you in at zero.
Ooh, I play 100 games and I just put everything at like a decimal point?
Okay. Or just put an asterisk next to every single one of them. And then in the YouTube description, subject to change due to my opinion on Dead Rising. And then that way, everyone knows when you come and play the greatest video game of all time, some might say a perfect video game, then you'll be all right. You'll be good to go.
This is true.
So let's start. Why, you know, and I love me a good list. Don't get me wrong. I am a top 100 list, especially because it's like, wow, now we're going big time, the big picture. What makes you, you know, what makes you decide to actually go through and put together your list of the top 100 video games of all time?
Well, the first time I did it, well, I pretty much just did it out of sheer boredom during like a class during college. Just, I'd finished something, I had Excel open, and I was like, I'm going to make a list. And that was pretty much how it started.
Wait, so is this the first time that you've done it? Or this is the first, like, so this is
I had like a running list for like, I just like add games in for like maybe a year until then. So I'd like beat a game, I'm like, I'll throw it around here. And then basically, I'll probably update this list eventually, like 5 years or so. However, it's a rolling. I don't know.
Well, because that's like one of the biggest. That's one of the biggest things for me approaching something that big is that, I mean, a top 10 is a little bit more manageable. Once you hit that top 100, like there's got to be quite a few of those games in your list. I bet you haven't played them in a little while, but doing it across a year or maybe even multiple years makes a lot more sense because you have a little bit more relevance there.
Yeah, and then it's like, it's also just the fact that knowing that it's like, it's my list, so it's not like, I am not like trying to objectively take the fact that like, oh, these are the top 100 games ever. It's just like, these are the games I like the most and I probably play the most.
Okay, so maybe not, I think Paul said greatest games of all time, but it's more of your favorite games.
Yeah, otherwise everyone will be very disappointed in my top 10 for the most part.
I'm excited to hear it. I mean, all those lists are that at the end of the day, right? I mean, I think people need to remember that when they look at things is very rarely are you going to fully identify with just one other person. I mean, let's just look at this podcast, for example. Trevor and Caleb and I, all good buddies, and, you know, Charlie and I, we're all clicking on all cylinders and stuff. It's all great. Woo, that was a weird one. That was like a...
I think you're off today. I think energy was sapped from you in that massive Mario Baseball stream.
Yeah, I've been working. I'm currently working on a Mario Baseball video that has eclipsed an hour-long runtime right now. I'm making a literal
That's
film.
A movie. That's not a video.
I'm
That's
making a literal
yeah.
Mario Baseball film at the moment.
Paul, did you eat one of Dot's special treats?
No, I didn't.
Paul's dog
I had to
has
take
been
the
getting
Dots,
drugged
I had
to
take
to
Dot
vet.
To the vet today. You know, it's been a whole roller coaster. But what I mean is, it's just you're not going to always line up one for one. Caleb's one of my best friends in the whole world. Same with Trevor. But our likes in video games are vastly different, especially Trevor. Trevor literally sometimes is the equivalent of watching paint dry as a human being.
I think Trevor would play a game that assembles pallet racking for a warehouse.
Yeah, like he would definitely be like, oh, I got Power Washing Simulator on a deal on Steam, and I spent a good solid weekend playing it. And then the follow-up would be, so then I went out and I got a power washer, and the next weekend I just power washed my house while I went and built another rock climbing wall in my backyard because I saw a cool design in the game. I'll send highlights from Mario Baseball from what I'm doing, and Trevor's sending, hey, look, I flew over my house in Microsoft Flight Simulator. Look at how cool these graphics are. So, but like, we all loved playing Fortnite when it first came out. Trevor still plays a ton of Fortnite, but me, it's like I have games that I am passionate and like love that no one cares about. Like we kicked off the show. I mean, Dead Rising is a more popular game than I give it credit for, but a lot of people haven't played it. And I'm over here preaching like everyone needs to play it. Like, but then a lot of people will play it and be like, what are you talking about? Same with my undying love for like the N64. I have a love for all these N64 games, and then you go back and play them and you're just like, whoosh, GoldenEye in today's day and age. You're just kind of like, oh, this game was a lot more fun when we had no idea how cool video games could be.
Or how late games could control.
Yeah, I mean, it's still fun. Like, and honestly, if you play N64 games emulated on PC and you can like use a mouse and keyboard to control, N64 games get a lot more fun, especially in the shooter range. But yeah. You know, Mario 64 is always good because Mario is just perfect.
The first time I ever emulated an older game, it was Final Fantasy IX. When I was in high school, I got a laptop and started emulating that, and playing it on the keyboard was so awesome. But I really did miss. I think I originally played that on a PlayStation 1. But going back and playing through like a Final Fantasy game, because the first time I played it, I think I was like, I don't know, 9 or 10. And I just had no idea what the fuck was going on in that game. I was like, I don't know what this elixir is. Like, all the random little items. I just, you know, those games are so, like, surprisingly deep.
Yeah.
I feel like, for me, it's been the most gratifying thing for games that I remember as being really, really hard as a kid that I've gone back and played as an adult and been like, no, this game's actually really hard. Why was I playing this as a kid?
Yeah.
Charlie, I saw that I think it was the one you released today. You hit number 47 out of your top 100, right? Counting down?
Yeah.
I love the choice of Donkey Kong Country. That was so good. That was like, I had an SNES growing up, and I my parents still have it, and I think there's still a file that says Caleb 5, and I named it that because I had just turned 5, and I was playing Link to the Past. That's great. And one of the games that we played was Donkey Kong Country. And my sister still, she has like an emulator, and she will go through and, or like it's, you know, just like on the Wii. But she has the GameCube controller, and it's so funny watching her play. She'll play like Claw Grip too, and like play Donkey Kong Country. And I swear that soundtrack, the whole series, Donkey Kong Country 1, 2, and 3, the soundtrack is, I'd say, top 5 video games of all time. It's fucking incredible.
They're all so good.
Yeah, all those old Nintendo games, like some like the underwater level soundtrack in Donkey Kong Aquatic Ambience. Yeah, yes, it's so good. Holy
shit. We watched a really, really interesting, I need to link it, but we watched a really interesting video of how they made music for the Super Nintendo and the N64, because I literally, this whole time as I've been in, I've been listening. I listened to the N64 soundtracks a lot. I've found a ton of them this year. I was also walking around listening to Super Nintendo soundtracks the other day. Specifically, Zombies Ate My Neighbors, and if you're curious about that one, another one that has a slapping soundtrack.
But really good soundtrack.
It's so impressive how limited they were in terms of the tools to create the music, and then they create these just absolutely incredible songs. And Donkey Kong Country is at the top of the list of just how influential, especially Nintendo music, can be.
Yeah. There's I think Red Bull made a documentary of like video game music. It's really cool. It's just called Digging in the Carts. Definitely check that out if you're interested in that
stuff.
Yes, I'm
going to do that 100% because I'm so fascinated. That's a part of video games we don't talk about enough. It's not celebrated enough. I want to go see one of these live concerts when they do video game music because it's, you just listen to so much of it, and especially growing up, so much of it didn't resonate with you because you're just like, I'm a kid. I want to play video games. Like, I'm doing this. But then it's like now when I'm playing games, I'm just sitting here. I'm playing Mario Golf Toadstool Tour, and I'm just like, we've been listening to the same song for 18 holes, but I love this song the whole right? time. It just absolutely, I'm just sitting there jamming. Mario Party 3, I'm sitting here, I'm jamming, I'm rocking. And it's just like, it takes, because there are video game songs that can be annoying, but now it's just like, I want to go back and just listen to those songs on loop because they're so good. So, so good.
Yeah. God, there's so many good ones.
So, Charlie, you've got this top 100 list. How do you approach, like, you've got games, like, I was just looking at some, like, you've got Wii Sports, Yakuza, Octopath Traveler, SSX Tricky, which is an amazing game.
Dude.
Amazing soundtrack. It's Tricky to Rock It On It, Rock It.
Yeah, that's, like, one of the things. I had to, like, cut out part of my script because I kept talking about the soundtrack of that game too long.
It's so good. Isn't that Run DMC who's actually doing that song?
Yeah, it's, like, a remix of that. And then there's, like, there's so many, like, weird different genres of music mixed together with just, like, DJs that they use for, like, when you're going down, like,
dude,
Garibaldi,
the characters
and
in that,
Elysium
Eddie
Alps.
With the huge afro.
Yeah.
Oh, Eddie's the fucking shit. But, like, so what I was going to say is, like, how, and then you've got, I mean, you've got stuff like Assassin's Creed 3, which is, like, you know, the typical blockbusters. And I think, is BioShock in there?
BioShock is the game I've got to play next, so it's not on the list.
Not I had to like list, but you're
cut
play.
Things off at some point.
One of my favorite games of all time.
There was some game I think I had like two games from one series and I ended up just kicking them out and throwing in like one other game because I played it and I was like, okay, this has to be on the list. I haven't made the thumbnail yet.
So how do you... Do you have any type of system or is it just kind of whatever pops up? Like, how do you compare Wii Sports with SSX Tricky with, you know, AC3?
Yeah. So, like, it's pretty much impossible to do for the most part in terms of, like, really trying to compare them and contrast them. But I guess to me, it's like there's, like, a few questions I guess I ask myself. It was, like, if there were only so many games that existed... And it was like, if I could only choose for like, if I had like one day left, right? If I could spend it playing what games would I play? I feel like that's usually what it comes down to for me. You know, disregarding the fact that some games definitely take more than a day, but.
Yeah, of course. Like anybody can just pick up Wii Sports or Wii Sports Resort and instantly play it and get that game.
Exactly.
Like, you know, I'm sitting at like 80 some hours into Elden Ring and I still have no idea what the fucking storyline is.
Well, like, it's important too. Some games are good and then the end part of the game is great. It accelerates everything. Right. Like I don't want to jump too ahead, but like BioShock just jumps a level. Like when it just gets to a point where I think the game just goes from good to great in terms of not only just gameplay and everything, it's in terms of story, engagement, environment. They just ratchet everything up and it gets better and better. There's so many games where you're sitting there just like, okay, okay, okay. And then it's like, fuck. I don't know on your list, maybe we'll get there, but God of War on PS4
is a prime example
for me of sitting there. I'm playing the beginning of the game and I'm loving it. Like I'm sitting there but I played it long after the hype wave. The hype wave had come and gone.
That's the same experience I had.
Yeah. I never spoiled myself on the game because I had bought the game and I said, I want to play this. Everyone is saying that this is one of the greatest games of all time. And I'm sitting there and I start playing it and I'm like, okay, I mean, I like the change. I'm into it. I'm cool. Yeah. The beginning stuff, it's like, yeah, the fighting's pretty fun. And then, like, we're going to spoil some games here. Let's just be honest. So I'm going to put a little spoiler up.
It's real like, quick. That's a 2017.
Unless, Trevor, are you going to play 2018? God of War? Do you have interest 18? In God
yeah, 2018.
Of War?
2018. Now you can go ahead.
What about Copper? Trace. Does Copper have any interest in God of War?
Yeah. Copper has we don't want Copper the dog.
Whoa. But jeez Louise, but, Copper,
I mean God of War starts ramping up, it starts getting better, and then it's just like, oh shit, your son's in trouble, Kratos is finally stepping up as a god, and then this cutscene's going and you're like, nah, he's not going back to get what you think he's about to go get. He's not about to go, because they didn't want to bring him back because they wanted him to have the axe, and then they say, nah, you definitely get the chain still from the other God of War, and then you're just like, let's fucking go. And you have to go into that world where you specifically have to use the blades to fight enemies because there's a specific world and the realm.
The axe doesn't do shit.
Yeah, and then it completely adds in an entire new system of combat and stuff. So it was like, oh shit, I had this whole plan of how I'm going to spend my upgrade points. Nah, no chance now. I'm trying to get my blades going because I want to use the blades of chaos. I think that's what they are. I can't remember if that's what they're... Yeah, and it's just like, hell... And that's like, you know... Another thing that, like, it's a little controversial, I think, but upon reflection, actually, I don't know if I want to spoil this one for Caleb, because I think him playing The Last of Us and The Last of Us 2.
I haven't played The Last of Us 2.
Okay, I won't then. The big twist that is big discussed, I'm a pro of, because that's where it just completely takes this game.
Oh, I remember that there was a bunch of controversy over it. The twist. And, like, a lot of people didn't like it, a lot of people liked it, right?
It's a classic. I feel like a classic thing, but like the main reason was of a direction of some characters, and I loved that game, and I love the choices, and I love the midpoint twist, and that's all I really want to say because I don't want to dive into literally anything more than that vague stuff. But I just think God of War is that prime example of a game that it's just like, holy shit, this game just went, and like once I got the blades, I didn't want to stop playing. Like I just wanted to play God of War through the end because the story was ratcheting up, and then they hit you with that huge punch at the end of God of War 2 of like the story stuff, and you're just like,
So wait, is God of War on your list? You played that.
It will be on the list when the episode comes out.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't want to dump too far ahead, but I have to assume God of War is probably a little higher than 47.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of, 100 games. I don't even know what's in my top 10 besides. I know Oblivion and Sekiro are in there.
Well, I think I start asking myself the question of maybe games that I didn't love, but I think of the importance of them. I saw on your list, Charlie, some Call of Duties. I don't have the same passion as Call of Duties, but I can't sit here and say that Modern Warfare 2 is not one of the best games of all time simply for how important it is in the world of online first-person shooters.
I think we should establish, too, with your list, sorry, Charlie, is this multiplayer as well, or is it all weighted off?
Yeah, it can be included. I don't play too many multiplayer games, so if you see like Call of Duty Advanced Warfare is on there, it's like 90 something or like 80 something, but like that's on there just because it was like that game in general was like an experience for me in high school. That was like the one game where it was like that is like I came home from school, played games with my friends. Had like a whole squad together, that was just kind of that experience. I think we've all been there before.
Yeah, that was me with Modern Warfare 2 playing Team Tactical. Three of my friends, so much fun.
Halo 3, without a doubt. Halo 3 was the coolest thing in the world for a while. It really was, wasn't it? Like, I mean, it was. If you weren't playing Halo 3 after whatever you were doing, you were missing out. Same with, I would say, one of the first games, and this might be kind of obscure, and maybe I'm curious if it might sneak onto your list at some point, because I know, Caleb, you'll appreciate it, was RuneScape. RuneScape was one of the first games I remember a lot of people at school talking about at school, planning stuff during the day.
I see Charlie shaking his head.
At the end of the day, and then going into and playing RuneScape.
Does that mean
that
you're
not a
RuneScape
of the games where I feel like everyone's played it, but I was just like, it became such like a thing where it was like, by the time, like even like when I was in college, it was like people were still talking about RuneScape constantly, and it was like people are also just doing like RuneScape in like countries with like poor economies to like make a living because they could sell it for real money. Like crazy stuff like
that.
Well,
because you could just bought for gold in RuneScape, and there were certain ways, like if you had because, you know, they opened up the old servers, the 2007 servers. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Mostly.
Yeah, because you could, apparently, the way that they detect bots, I watched this whole, like, 15-minute YouTube documentary about it. They do it by, like, mouse clicks, basically, and locations of the mouse click. But if you do it on a tablet or a phone, they don't detect the click the same way. So you can run bots through your tablet or phone, something that's touchscreen, and you basically, it's like, I guess it's basically impossible for them to catch you. Like, other than just like somebody running 24 hours a day doing this thing without stopping, then they're like, okay, you know, we got you.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're just on hour 48 in this cave.
Man, I didn't even think, if I were to make a list like this, I guess RuneScape would have to be on there, but I would never have thought to put RuneScape on a list like this because I don't typically include games like that that don't have the capacity to play a single player. Like, I wouldn't even really even include Smash Bros. Melee on mine. Because
that's unfair. I think that's
it's almost like a different thing for me. When I go to sit down and play a video game, like, I almost think about that differently. Is like when I sit down to play Melee, it's almost like I'm working out.
Well, that's for you. You also have to admit to everyone that you are the rare exception. For me, I have a long, long history of playing single player Smash Brothers from N64 through the Switch version.
I'm not saying people can't put it on their list,
but I'm saying that I have a fond memory of my time playing it by myself, like in the single player capacity. I loved unlocking all the characters. I loved unlocking the stages. I loved doing the Melee event.
I remember that as a kid too. Like, I remember doing the it's like the 100-man Melee to get Falco.
Yeah,
when he pops up.
Yeah, and then so it's like, good. Yeah, they pop in on the screen and
then you got to beat them, and you're all nervous.
One of my the fondest, one of my fondest video game memories. Like me and Will Rubenstein and Zach, and my buddy Zach. You know, we went up to Game Crazy in Colorado. Midnight release of Smash Bros. Brawl.
Is that like a game place? I've never.
It
heard
was
of that.
I don't know. Did you guys have Hollywood Video?
Yeah, I remember Hollywood Video.
Yeah, so Hollywood Video was basically Blockbuster. It was just another Blockbuster type chain. But a lot of Hollywood Videos had a video game store in them called Game Crazy, where you could actually buy and trade it. It was a little mini GameStop in there, and they even had like N64 games, and it was right down the street from our middle school and like in my neighborhood, basically, not, you know, easily walking distance. So we would go there after school and go hang out. But I asked my parents in advance, and we got to go to the midnight launch of Super Smash Brothers Brawl. And then, man, coming back, starting the Subspace Emissary and starting to unlock all the characters. Brawl is honestly a game that I would put all of the Smashes probably throughout the list. Maybe not the 3DS one because of how important I think all of them are and how good I think all of them are. But, you know, even Brawl on that thing, but I like for Brawl, that like that is definitely a game that I think first single player Smash, because I played the shit out of that single player. I played
I love
so much
tripping accidentally.
Yeah, Brawl was game I ended up kicking out.
I don't care. I don't care as much about that because I want to be Olimar throwing Pikmin at Ganondorf, and then a giant beast thing comes and blows up a stage. Like that shit's fun to me, and like I think Brawl
Nintendogs.
Yeah, and then Brawl also was like, you know what? We're just going to make everything still goofy and crazy, but it's also going to be like gritty and kind of cool looking. And like, you're just like, fuck, everyone looks just kind of cool. Like, everyone's got their realistic, like, clothes on.
Yeah, the
on,
denim gritty. On Mario's pants. Or
yeah,
his overalls.
Like, you know, Wario's actually looking like he's got denim, you know, his denim's all flaring out and like all that stuff. And it was just like, all the trailers they did for Brawl 2, you're like, fuck, those are cool.
Yeah.
Dude, we need a gritty
the dojo updating like every week or so.
Dude, I'm were you like me, Charlie? Every morning it was you checked the update before school and I would text my cousin. We would talk about it.
I would check it like right when I woke up and like right when I got home from school.
And then there was like, do I want to know who the hidden character is? And like, yeah, I want to know who the hidden character is, 100%.
You're like,
yeah. And then they announce, and then they're like, so they start Brawl off, and they're like, oh, Snake's in it. And you're like, sick. And then in the middle of the dojo shit, in like a middle of the week, they just are like, oh, here's this trailer. And then you're like, oh, shit. And it's Sonic the fucking Hedgehog. I mean, like, that was crazy. Like, you have to remember, Brawl, like, Snake and Sonic being in Brawl is the reason Smash Ultimate is able, and like all these crossover things exist is because that was the first, and I know there was plenty of other crossover games, but I'm just saying, like, for Smash to get to that stage, it was because they opened up their minds and said it would be really fucking cool if Mario, Sonic, and Link all fought each other and Pokemon run around. Yeah, you know, so that was, I think Brawl just really leaned into that area of Smash that I love more than I think you know Caleb might. Where it's just like, I love the party, big roster, ridiculousness of Smash.
Great game, bad tripping.
The gameplay. The actual
mechanics of the game are fucking booty in comparison to something like Melee or 64. But I will say that introduced to me, like, my absolute favorite Smash character of all time, Wolf. I love Wolf. The aesthetics of the character, the shine, the way that they pop up to the side and you can shine them and then side B them. Like that so little good. Combo just feels so good. Like it's just what a dopamine rush playing that character is.
So
what's great is like you can play Project M or Project Plus, which makes you Brawl way more fun anyways.
Yeah, Project M was a fucking blast. It's a bummer that, from what I understand, the dev team still is stopped, right? They've like permanently kind of stopped.
Sure. Because now there's P Plus and
Yeah, and some of them went and created Rivals of Aether, right? A few of the people from Project M team were involved on that.
Trevor, you had a question.
Sorry, that's cool about Rivals of Aether. I've had that on like my Steam wish list for like ever since I remember they announced it, but. No, my question for Charlie, I was going to say, so I didn't realize Caleb shared kind of your list here with the YouTube link, which we'll probably throw that up once we get this VOD on there as well. But you said you're on number 47 of your list counting down. So when did you start with, I guess, number 100 and how long has this been going on for?
That was in like May or June. I was posting like 2 a week pretty frequently, like every Tuesday and Thursday. And then there was just like this giant gap where I like changed job. I was working like 6 days a week. So I was just like tired and I was like, no YouTube. But then like, you know, New Year's had a New Year's resolution sort of thing. I put like a couple out in between. I was like, okay, I really need to finish this. And then that's when I, like, the past 2-3 weeks, I've been posting them, like, daily.
Hell yeah. It's a fucking journey. And not to mention that there's just so many games out there. Like, how you compile that.
Yeah, I was scrolling through the list. I guess I've got a couple questions. Well, I guess first I was going to say I love that Battle for Bikini Bottom made the list. I saw it was, like, 99. I loved that game when I was a kid.
It's so good.
I was going to ask, though, so Paul mentioned, like, all of the Smash Brothers would be on his list. Like, is that something, as you've been compiling all these, like, have you been trying to maybe pick one, like, from certain, you know, like, long games like that, like your Call of Duties, things like that? Like, maybe just pick one for the full 100, or do you have multiples of some of those?
Yeah, like, I feel like I could have easily picked maybe, like, 2 or 3 Guitar Hero games.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I can't just keep like picking Guitar Hero games for how much I love them. I'm like, I'm just going to do Guitar Hero 3 and like call it a day.
Fuck.
I tried to cut down on
Guitar
like
Hero.
Yeah, so like Call of Duty. So it was just like, I went with like the one that was like the one where I was like, I played with my friends. And then I went with like the one where like the first time I ever played COD by myself, which was World at War.
Oh, okay. Man, World at War's good. I thought you were going to say
Seven Deadly Vins. Seven Deadly Vins.
I went back
in the chat says Caleb confirmed furry for his love of wolves. Wolf. So there you go.
It's Halloween costume 3 years running.
What does go through? Actually, I'm going to rewind because you brought up Guitar Hero, so I want to go there. Tell me, a game like Guitar Hero was very unique and it was very groundbreaking. I want to know like your games that you think just had massive impacts in the world of video games. Like a couple examples of games, like it doesn't matter where they ranked on your list. I'm just curious more so like games that you think, because you mentioned a love of Guitar Hero that, and that's, you know, one of many. We definitely, Guitar Hero 3. You know, I'm way more nostalgic for it. One by Metallica, easily the most fun Guitar Hero song of all time, and I'm proud to say I only play on medium. I tried hard.
I can't go higher. I tried hard.
It's way more fun to play all the songs and actually hit the notes than it is for me to put my pinky down there and hurt my hand and do all that other stuff. So I just finish the songs. But
I got distracted. You only play medium?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same.
You know
what?
But
you know
actually,
what I can do? I can 100% my name is Jonas, and like, I did it. I can do it basically after a couple warm-ups, because I did it when I was back in Colorado.
100% what?
My Name is Jonas by Weezer.
On medium?
Yep.
Yeah, I bet I could do that right now. What do you mean?
Do it. Prove
what
it.
Prove it. Is that how you got Ava to start dating you?
What's the Slayer song that's in Guitar Hero 3? I did 100% of that on medium. I like grinded that for like 5 hours one day, was rough.
It's not Rain in Blood, is it?
Yeah, it's Rain in Blood.
Oh, it is. It was a great song.
Yeah, I just grinded that for hours on end until I got 100% on it. Because I kept missing like one note in like the middle of the song, and I'm just like, why this one note?
And then you got to start all the way over because it's done. The song's just over there. So yeah, I'm just curious. Some of your big innovative, your big groundbreaker games.
So, like, I think the games that kind of come to mind, I mean, there's some things from, like, a technical standpoint. So, like, Guitar Hero 3, I think, obviously had probably, like, the biggest cultural impact. It made classic rock very popular for everyone my age at the time, which was kind of weird when it was just, like, I mean, obviously, like, people's parents get them into that music and stuff. But it was, like,
in general,
it made a lot of rock music more prominent. And when I was, like, was I, like, in elementary school when that came out, or, like, middle school? But
yeah,
it was like, it made Foghat relevant in like 2008 or something. Like, like everyone knows Slow Ride.
And yeah, I was just going to say, like, so much of the stuff by like The Police and like, who wrote Barracuda?
Heart.
Ooh, Barracuda.
Like, I remember some of that stuff coming back in, like, War Pigs and, like, I don't know if I would have known those songs as early as I did without Guitar Hero.
Yeah, thanks to my dad, I have, like, an absurd wealth of classic rock knowledge, but that also was, like, I probably wouldn't have heard Beastie Boys for several years otherwise. Or, like...
Man, Beastie Boys.
Raids Against the Machine, so...
I feel like it's funny that you mentioned that because I feel like my parents were excited to get me Guitar Hero 2 for PS2 because they could listen to all the music that they liked.
Yeah.
I was taking over the living room TV.
Yeah.
I think another game.
Oh, go ahead. No,
go ahead, Charlie.
I think another one of the other games for like cultural impact in terms of like when I was a kid was like the Tony Hawk games. So especially like the Underground games.
Gotta love them.
Like, I think all those are super relevant, but just, like, in terms of, like... And then Tony Hawk 2, Underground 2, was basically just, like, a Jackass game.
Yeah. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 is, like, one that will forever live in my heart.
Oh, yeah, that's, like... I think that's, like, still, like, one of the five highest-rated games on Metacritic. It's, like, that. It's Ocarina of Time.
Rightfully so. I think
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild's probably up there.
I know. Elden I think Ring Soul now. Calibur 2 is really high.
I never played anything Soul Calibur at all.
Soul Calibur's fun, man. Mostly just
is that a fighting
just,
game?
Like,
it's just a fighting game, right?
Yeah, it's just it's so fun. It's like
they were a series that loved them a crossover. They had them platform exclusive characters.
Yeah, just throw
Link
in
there. People are like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm in.
Charlie, looking at your list, is there any games that you have announced or that you plan to announce that you think are like the more underground ones that you think need more recognition that people like us who might not know about them should try them out?
I'm trying to think. I haven't gotten to this one, but it's further up on the list. Even though it's a AAA title, it was super slept on when it came out, and it was Spec Ops The Line, if anyone's played that game at all.
Interesting.
I have not played.
No, I haven't.
I haven't played it. I'm familiar with the game. I don't know. I haven't played it, but I follow enough that I'm familiar.
So it's on PS3 and Xbox 360 and PC. It's a third-person shooter published by 2K, developed by Jaeger. Basically, it's a game with multiple choices and endings. But basically, the entire themes of the game are based around like PTSD and like going into the war in the Middle East. Wow. And things like that. So it's like, yeah, it's a very interesting game. And you don't really realize that like those are the themes of like what's happening until you reach the end of the game.
Yeah, that's cool. And I'm looking at the title of it, 2012 game to have multiple endings. Like that was right when people were starting to really try to start doing different stuff like that.
The game didn't sell super well, and it has, like, a multiplayer mode that doesn't really matter, but, like, story-wise, that is, like, definitely one of, like, my favorite narratives in games. Let me see, what other...
Third-person shooter.
Yeah, let me see, what other... in terms of indie titles that I included, I had Thomas Was Alone, which is also a super heavy narrative-driven game. It's a puzzle platformer. It literally just tells, like, the store they successfully make characters out of literal just like blocks, like, oh yeah, the main character, he's a red quadrangle, like he's just a rectangle jumping around and all these
and
different
his name is Thomas.
Yeah, and Thomas was alone, but all the different characters have like different personalities, and it's just like narrated by a really good voice actor.
Hell yeah.
And it basically goes through like it's kind of like a coming of age story, but literally with blocks. And they all, like, overcome their own, like, insecurities and stuff. Which is a super, really weird but fun indie game.
I enjoy then, types of media like that that will have something that's intensely complicated, like a really awesome narrative and story, and then another aspect of it that's intensely simple, like having the main character just be a red quadrangle.
Right.
I got the Xbox Game Pass because it's on. Well, they added it to PC. They had this like good deal going or whatever, and I've been a big fan of it ever since.
It's the best.
What's that?
It's such a good deal.
It's great. Yeah, amazing. With having an Xbox too, it's easy. I
so awesome. It makes buying an Xbox the better option than a PS5, in my opinion, if you're going to play a lot of games.
I was historically really against, like, kind of the subscription model, you know, aspect of it. But anyways, what I was going to say was, because I've got the Game Pass, I have access to all these games, and I've been finding myself playing a lot of more indie games, kind of like what you're saying, like Thomas is Alone. I recently played Outer Wilds, I think it was called, which was a mind-blowing game.
That one's so cool. It's like music-based and shit.
Outer Wilds was crazy.
That game is beautiful.
I've actually played a bunch of games by that studio. Is it Annapurna Interactive? Right now I'm playing Kentucky Route Zero, which has been super interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if any of those made your list, but you said indie games, and I was like, oh, I've been playing all the indie games lately on Game Pass. Yeah,
I need to get more into, I guess, indie games. Like, I've played so many of them, but it's like, so many I just, like, I played for, like, sometimes just, like, an evening or an afternoon, and it's, like, a lot of them didn't make the list. I think there's like, I probably could have thrown, like, What Remains of Edith Finch on there. I could have thrown...
That's on my list to play.
Gone Home. I kind of could have thrown those on there.
Do you have Hollow Knight on there?
No, I do not.
Have you ever played Hollow Knight?
No, it's downloaded. I'm going to play it soon.
My girlfriend, one of my girlfriend's favorite games, and she. But yeah, it's interesting, Trevor. I think it's because, as much as you want to play the next big, great game, it's just when you get to a certain point in life, you just don't have time to go drop a 40, 50. You know, I don't have time for to spend 5 hours to get into a game. I need to play. Sometimes I just need to play a game for 5 hours and be done. I did that, and it was less than 5 hours. Like, on Game Pass, there was a game it was called Donut County, and I was like, oh, this is, and it's not a hard game. You just control a hole in the ground, and you just drop a bunch of things into the hole. It's not really that difficult. But honestly, it was so refreshing. I beat it in 2 days, and I just said, I love the art. I love the little thing. And, you know, lost Caleb.
We lost Caleb.
Are you alive?
Oh, he's back.
Anyway. But hopefully that's the beauty of Game Pass.
I was just, I guess, waiting.
There he is.
He's back.
Robots for about. We're still recording.
Yeah, I just got bored with you people, except for Charlie.
So, one of my questions here, we got to wind down here in just a little bit, because I have to drive to the airport in a little bit.
Oh, fun.
Super fun. You mentioned you're not trying to take some from a lot of series, so I'm hoping that there's going to be a reason. You picked the wrong Mario Party. I'm just going to go and say it. You picked the wrong Mario Party.
Mario Party 8 was going to come up. Out of all the
Mario Parties, if there's not more Mario Parties coming up and you're out here picking Mario Party 8 on the Wii, you're not even going to go Superstars to bring the other ones? What are we doing? You're Mario skipping Party over 3? 2, 3, and 4? That's the golden age of Mario Party.
Yeah.
Paul, you know, you've only seen half his list so far, so...
That's what I'm hoping to clarify. I didn't grow up with a GameCube or an N64.
He was trying to avoid the repeats, so I just wanted to. I had to air my beef.
That's fair. I do need to play more of the Mario Parties, but I also literally have. I'm like at this weird point in life where it's like everyone I know is just like, you know, they've either moved far away or they're having children, so they are in no condition to play Mario Party, let alone drink and play Mario Party. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I have, like, 3 or 4 of them, but it's like, I don't want to just sit there, like, and just do a Twitch stream. It's like, I'm going to drink by myself and play Mario.
Yeah, that's a sad Twitch stream. That's a Twitch stream you tune in and you're like, oh, man, this guy is playing all computers. He's not even in, like, a Discord call, like, playing some people.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Playing normal computers by himself. Drinking, taking shots.
They're normal computers.
Yeah, just not normal.
Because he wants to feel better.
Playing on the basic map too, and you're just like, just a nice 20 turns here, winding down the evening, just with my computers. But I Mario Party is a game that I very, very near and dear to my heart.
And not just a Mario Party. It's Mario Party 2, Mario Party 3, Mario Party 4. And honestly, 5 is also good.
Yeah, like, 5 is good. But it does. Mario Party doesn't get better than 3. Mario Party is.
I think 3 is my favorite.
Mario Party
as well.
3 yeah. is the because the N64 controller doesn't screw you that much in random mini games. You don't have to use it that much. The music rules. The boards are all fun. They got a couple extra characters.
Something about playing Mario Party in a group with your friends with a 64 controller. The 64 controller and the bullshit that's associated with using a 64 controller just makes it feel even...
Nobody's too comfortable with it.
Yeah, everybody agrees this is garbage. and then we can move on from there. You know, everybody's good and mad.
Everyone has three hands. That's how they can use the controller. It's everyone has three of them. So
without looking at controls, how does this mini game play? Which handle are you holding?
And now I know, though. I got all mini games. They're all
What's
programmed.
What's the left handle for? Does anybody ever grab the left handle?
You might need to use the D-pad for some stuff to like
you
navigate.
You're
going to
play
Stadium.
A song in Ocarina of Time. Like.
Yeah, or no, that's the C buttons, yeah.
You can't even really use the D-pad. I thought when I first grabbed it that you could use the D-pad for everything that you could use the analog stick, but they're just like, no, idiot. Why would you be able to do that?
They're like, no, you need three hands for this, sir.
Yeah, again, three hands. That's what everyone has. Charlie, my last question here before we wind things down. What are you most excited for the future of video games? Is there a video game trend that's like... Oof. Are you excited by VR? Are you just into the fact that games load really fast and everyone can play?
I'm actually so happy about that.
Oh my god, I will tell you, another reason why the Xbox rules quick resume is literally one of the things I didn't think about until I got an Xbox, but it rules. I haven't played Fallout 3 on my Xbox in 2 months. I'm going to fire that up and it's going to be the exact moment I last paused and it's going to load like that.
And you'll have no idea where the fuck you are.
No, I will, because I believe I'm in the Jefferson Memorial fighting some super mutants right now. Dead Rising, bam, I'm right back in there. And these are games that I always just pop into from time to time because they always like satisfy an itch. But then it's weird and it doesn't work because then it's like Halo. Every time I open up Halo Infinite, I have to close it and reopen it because the servers communication gets all
fucked up. Because it has connectivity.
With it. So I'm just curious, is there something maybe in this gen or coming up that like really excites you about the future of games?
I think honestly just finding this next generation, just finding something where you're like, I think we've all had it where it's like it's always like you have something you're like, wow, this was definitely not possible last generation. Like something crazy. So like when I went from like PS2 to PS3, I played Uncharted 2, so like you know, the train scene or like when the building's tumbling down, like that was like that sort of experience for me. So I'm just kind of like waiting for something like that to hit like PS5. PS4 was kind of immediate because the graphics were just so much better than PS3. Mm-hmm. Like even Killzone Shadowfall was not really a great game at all, but it looked so good that I was like, I'm so happy. This is how games look now. But, I definitely want VR to just seem like be more accessible. I think that's certainly like.
I wonder if that's like, the direction we're going, because like some of the VR stuff, Trevor has a VR setup, and some of it, I know Paul's shaking his head, but Paul's also the boomer of the group. You have to understand this. That
I think VR is cool, but I just don't want it to be my main thing. I would play VR like I would be. I would love to go to Trevor Sass
Paul,
and suit
I
up
remember
in that thing.
When my brother and I were talking about this, that when my brother first got his iPhone, the very, very first iPhone, my brother was talking about like how he's going to pick this thing up, and my dad was like, "There's no way that people are ever going to want to give up a physical keyboard. There's just no way. It's not going to happen." And like we were talking about that, and it's like that's the kind of thing that I wonder, and I'm just speculating. I actually have no dog in this fight. But I wonder if that's what we're going to think about stuff with like VR in the future. And when I say future, I mean like at this point, it could be 5 years. It could be 25 years. I don't know.
And Facebook already wants you living in their freaking world, dude.
Yeah, fuck that. Well, that is ridiculous.
Oh my
Let's go to work and have everything be work all the time and be surrounded by it.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You know what's fun?
Yeah.
I also think like things like the Steam Deck are like super interesting because it's like the Steam Deck is like it's literally a PC like that is nearly a Switch as well. So
I've got my reservation in. I'm very excited for that.
I'm glad that Trevor. I'm really glad that you got one because you would be the person way down the line once Steam Decks are more ready available. Then I'll get one because it does sound sweet.
So yeah, because I've seen people they're just like playing Dolphin, like putting Dolphin emulator on it.
Charlie, could you give like a 15-second rundown of what a Steam Deck is for somebody who doesn't know what it is?
For the uninitiated, a Steam Deck is much like a gaming handheld that you've played before, like a Game Boy or a DS, except you have the extensive library of a PC.
Yeah, your entire Steam library.
Yeah,
I don't think it's entire.
It's a lot. It's like most
it's a
of it,
lot. Yeah, I just want. I think there is.
So there's
I
certain
think
things
there is
you can't play.
A couple exceptions to the rule.
I mean,
it's
if
not,
you want to play GameCube games on it, it works. Like,
yeah.
I also think they just like added Game Pass.
Can you play
the Nintendo games? People are running Dolphin.
Yeah, you can just run emulators on it. Yeah, like you can just boot up Windows on it.
Wait, I thought that this was like a. Okay. You can boot up
Windows.
Yeah,
it's literally a PC.
Steam
it
just made
like,
a cool
the form
gaming
factor
gaming
is like a Switch.
What's the
Steam
difference?
Just made a gaming laptop look like a Switch, and they just made basically. It with some intuitive controls and stuff. They just said, okay, everyone loves that shit.
Okay.
How do we make a little rectangle that you can have on the hold with the thing, and how does it work like a PC?
To have it's
a,
it's, to hold.
And it like...
Yeah. And it has like a proprietary menu, and then you like too, get right? out of it, it boots you out the Windows, from what I can tell. You're like, oh, sweet. Let me just... Yeah, plug in the keyboard and start working, I guess.
We have reached the end of the show, but before we go, I heard that there might be a song for this, but if not, are you ready to play something, Caleb? Can you actually play something
for
us?
No.
It's Caleb's recommendation. Caleb's recommendation. At the end of the show, Caleb recommends one thing for you all, whether it be a show or a topic or something. He just recommends something, and that's what we do here.
Don't say it like you, like I was the one who is like, oh, Paul, I want you to introduce. You just started doing this shit.
Yeah, I know. You started. I don't know what. Caleb. I don't know what. What is this beef? Where are you coming from?
Caleb,
I'm just
so
simply
angry.
Telling people that you don't
I'm
always
angry
just recommend
all the time, Trevor.
You don't recommend
everything.
Just a product or something. Sometimes you recommend, like you've recommended, like health habits. You've recommended, like other
you know
things.
What? You know,
sometimes
I'm gonna
just recommend some. You just recommend something. That's all I was saying.
I know, but Paul, you had said something, some kind of inflection. You were like, Caleb recommends.
No,
something.
You just always think I'm talking shit about you, which is usually true. But it's like an 80-20 split.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. Actually, 80% of the time you're talking shit. You know what, yeah. Paul? I'm going to recommend daily yoga today because I got on the train when I was living with you in Seattle. I was doing yoga, I mean, pretty much every day. You watched me do it.
Yeah, Caleb had to parade into the family room, made sure everyone knew.
See, this is why I'm sensitive about it.
His man's like, oh, downward dog. Stretching in. Here
well,
I go.
And every time I would never, it's not like I was like, everybody clear the room. I'm doing yoga. Like, I would just come in and I'd drop my pad and I'd start stretching, and Will would be like, oh, you think you're better than us? You know, and I was like, no, I'm just trying to, it's not big enough in my room. We lived in Seattle. There's no fucking room. I've got a full bed and a desk in my goddamn room. I'm not doing yoga in there. And then all of a sudden, you know, anyway, I got off the train for a really long time, and I just yesterday got back on the train, and the last 2 days I've done yoga and I feel awesome. I don't have as much lower back pain. I feel ever so slightly less angry, but I'm usually still pretty fucking angry, mostly at Paul. So yeah, that's why I think we should all do regular yoga. It'll make do you want to be like me? Angry all the
just
time.
Just slightly less angry.
Yeah, do you want to be slightly less angry like I am? Do daily yoga.
I do need to do some more yoga. I need
so,
to take
Paul,
care of my
you,
back.
You wanted
but before
to know if I
we
have...
finish up nope. whatever Caleb is going to say, Trevor's got a tip for us. We also like to
Trevor's
wind down
tips.
The show. Trevor's got a tip. for us. And Trevor, what's your closing thought for people? It's Trevor closes down the show with his closing thoughts.
Yeah, I think my closing thoughts for this episode is that it was great having Charlie on, and I'm excited to see what his remaining top 100 list looks like. So maybe I'll throw it over to him if he has anything he'd like to share during this segment.
Isn't a tip?
My tip is to go check out Savage Gaming and check out his top 100 list.
That's a great tip. That's a fantastic tip. There we go. Yeah, yeah.
Is that better, Caleb?
Yeah, he covered basically. Yeah.
Charlie, well, the floor is yours. I want you to tell the people where they can find you, tell the people where they can support you, tell the people where you're doing all the cool stuff that that you do.
Alrighty, yeah. So you can find me over on youtube.com/savagegaming. It's spelled S-A-V-I-D-G-E. That's how my last name is. And then it's the same over on twitch.tv. It's on TikTok. It's on Instagram. I have a Facebook. I don't use that, but I made sure I had the name. Yeah. Actually, another guy has the name.
Oh, we're going to fight him.
But I just have C Savage Gaming over there. But
we'll DDoS him.
No, we're not going to do that, actually. We won't do that.
No,
we are going to wrap up the show here.
Do you know how bad I'd feel for doing that to a Facebook streamer? Do you know how many people stream on Facebook? Nobody. Let him have this.
He's like the 18th person who's ever streamed on Facebook.
Listen, I just need the search engine optimization. That's all I need. Yep. If I come up first on Google, that's a win.
It's a win. It's a win for us as well. Savage Gaming, top 100 going down, and a lot more as well. But you can find us at twitch.tv/chat_pack, where we stream Mario Baseball. Big shout out to everyone in the Mario Superstar Baseball community that came out for a hell of a nearly 9-hour stream I did on Monday of a 6+ hour bracket. One day only, $25 of my own money. We had a whole blast, and so shout outs to everyone there. You can also find us on YouTube, Chat Pack there as well. Caleb has surpassed 100,000 views on his Elden Ring tutorial. He is still
the frame pairing one,
basically carrying our YouTube success. Over there, single-handedly, really. That's really the only reason our numbers.
All of our other videos just have like 300, 200 here. Like, yeah, I've got one other Elden Ring video that's for some reason has 2,200, and then there's just this one 105,000 now. I don't.
Yeah,
get it.
which is nuts. So
I put a graph in there. People like graphs. That's if you're making YouTube videos, hard people data. Like. Graphs.
God, I need to change the whole list now.
Yeah. Change the whole list. Just put all the graphs in there. But
here's an NPV chart. This is how much this
sold. Streaming on YouTube and TikTok. But that's going to do it for us here on the Chatback Podcast. Follow us, Chatback Live on Twitter. Subscribe to that YouTube channel. Hi, Chris Toasty. We saw you in the chat as well. So shout out to Chris Toasty, Stars On legend there in Mario Superstar Baseball. But folks, for Trevor, for Caleb, for Charlie, I'm Paul Holden saying so long from the Chat Pack Podcast, and we will catch you on the flippity flip.